Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with A Word in Edgewise. Today is the 21st of October, the 295th day of 2024, with 71 days ahead of us on our way to 2025. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Climate Prediction Center posted its two-week precipitation outlook this past Thursday, forecasting near normal to normal amounts of precipitation for the stretch from this Wednesday to the end of the month, and for the same period above normal temperatures. In other words, expect a continuation of mostly dry days, though much different from 77 years ago when wildfires were flaring up all over Maine. Like much of the Pine Tree State, Mount Desert Island's Acadia National Park, with its boreal forests, had become quite the tinderbox, having not had any rain in 100 days, and the fire that had started on October 17th in a peat bog near Dolliver's Dump off the Crooked Road in Hull's Cove would only, in the next 3 days, blacken about 169 acres. But then today, 77 years ago, stiff winds blew in from the north, fanning the fire south toward Eagle Lake and burning over 2,000 acres. The next day, October 22nd, wind helped the fire expand east, west, and south, consuming at least another 2,000 acres. And the day after, on October 23rd, the fire expanded further, now 3 miles wide. Pushed along by plenty of wind, the wildfire would travel 6 miles south in fewer than 3 hours, en route destroying 67 seasonal estates on what once was known as Millionaire's Row in Bar Harbor. Close to 11,000 acres caught fire that day. Not until October 27th, after the Jackson Lab had burned, along with another 2,000 acres, and the fire had blown itself out in a huge fireball off the end of Otter Point, would the fire be declared under control. By then, half of Acadia National Park had sustained damage from the fire. But beyond the blackened landscape that would within a year begin to green itself again, the fire reduced the preponderance of the arboreal forest's conifers, allowing opportunities for the proliferation of deciduous species, meaning the fire created growing space for the expansion of nature's palette of colors, so that in the years after the Great Fire of 1947, we have had more colorful autumns than before on the eastern half of Mount Desert Island. Officially, this past Wednesday's final 2024 Maine Fall Foliage Report from Maine's Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry has confirmed what most of us have seen lately working west and north from the coast, that is, peak to past peak conditions, with moderate leaf drop, 70 to 100% across the state. Heavenward tonight in the eastern sky, our waning gibbous moon will be keeping company with the bright planet Jupiter, the bright red star Aldebaran, and the Pleiades star cluster above. And tomorrow morning in the southeastern sky, our moon will slide by the twin stars Castor and Pollux of the constellation Gemini. Looking west during a suitable evening this next week, we might still catch a glimpse of Comet Tsu-Chin-Shan-Atlas. Birthday boy English romantic poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge focuses the first stanza of his 1798 poem, Frost at Midnight, on sea, hill, and wood, this populous village, sea, hill, and wood, with all the numberless goings on in life, inaudible as dreams. But eventually Coleridge knows the whiteness only bespeaks a phase of significant contrast that will be displaced by another phase of significant contrast, and in this manner to appreciate the quality of all things. Therefore all seasons shall be sweet to thee, whether the summer clothe the general earth with greenness, or the redbreast sit and sing betwixt the tufts of snow on the bare branch of mossy apple tree, while the nigh thatch smokes in the sun thaw, whether the eave drops fall, heard only in the trances of the blast, or if the secret ministry of frost shall hang them up in silent icicles, quietly shining to the quiet moon. Today in 1512, Martin Luther joined the theological faculty of the University of Wittenberg. Today in 1797, the U.S. Navy's frigate Constitution, nicknamed Old Ironsides, was launched in Boston. Today in 1805, a fleet of 33 French and Spanish ships were defeated by a British fleet of 27 ships, commanded by Admiral Horatio Nelson in the Battle of Trafalgar. Today in 1854, Florence Nightingale, with a staff of 38 nurses, headed to the Crimean War. Today in 1940, Ernest Hemingway's novel For Whom the Bell Tolls was published. Today in 1949, Brave New World author Aldous Huxley congratulated George Orwell on his new novel, 1984. Today in 1959, the Guggenheim Museum, designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, opened in New York City. Today in 1964, the American musical film My Fair Lady had its world premiere. And today in 1971, Chilean poet Pablo Neruda won the Nobel Prize for Literature. Today in 1956 in Burbank, California, singer Eddie Fisher and actress Debbie Reynolds welcomed their daughter Carrie into the world, though her father would soon be having an affair with Elizabeth Taylor. Within 2 years, he would divorce Carrie's mother Debbie and marry Elizabeth Taylor, and Debbie would become a single parent, later to say of Fisher, "He had no influence on the children, but they were born with what he was born with, which was great vocal prowess." Carrie and her brother Todd joked about coming from a broken mansion, and Carrie wrote about having a celebrity mother, whom she admired, remarking, "I always wanted to do what my mother did, get all dressed up, shoot people, fall in the mud. I never considered anything else." Carrie Fisher dropped out of Beverly Hills High School to study acting in London, maximizing what she had learned by making her movie debut at age 17 in the 1973 Warren Beatty film Shampoo. And though the film received only so-so reviews, it led to her role as Princess Leia in the 1977 blockbuster film Star Wars, its sequels, a host of other films, and numerous appearances in dozens of television series. She also became a highly regarded writer, despite or perhaps because of her lifelong struggles with drug addiction and mental illness. One day after Carrie died of a heart attack at the end of a flight from London to Los Angeles, her mother Debbie died of a stroke just after purportedly saying, "I want to be with Carrie." Today is also the birthday in 1328 of the first emperor of the Ming Dynasty of China, Hong Wu. In 1772 of English romantic poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge. In 1833 of the Swedish chemist who invented dynamite and founded the Nobel Prizes, Alfred Nobel. In 1839 of the German banker and politician who helped found Deutsche Bank, Georg von Siemens. In 1895 of American actress Edna Purviance. In 1902 of American actress Lillian Bronson. In 1924 of Cuban-American singer Celia Cruz, of American actress Joyce Randolph, and of American blues singer Dr. Ross. In 1926 of American jazz trumpeter Don Elliott. In 1928 of American baseball pitcher Whitey Ford. In 1929 of American writer Ursula K. Le Guin. In 1942 of American television jurist Judge Judy. In 1943 of American guitarist and songwriter Ron Elliott. In 1945 of American pop singer Kathy Young. In 1946 of Chinese Jamaican bassist Phil Chen. In 1950 of American astronaut and physicist Ronald McNair. In 1952 of American rock keyboardist and vocalist Brent Midland. And in 1953 of American rock guitarist, keyboardist, and vocalist Charlotte Caffey. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in edgewise. Here's to the fifth full week of autumn and to the 43rd week of 2024.